Good evening, and welcome to another Fireside Chat. I am your host, Lance White, also known as the Zany Mystic. Tonight's guest is an intuitive consultant, Andrea Hess. She has been a Reiki practitioner and received a master's degree related to massage therapy. In 2003, she became a certified life coach, then trained in intuitive consulting to perform soul readings for others. She has written a wonderful new book called Unlock Your Intuition, which is a practical guide to accurately and reliably access your own inner resources. In it, there are exercises designed to develop your intuitive abilities. Let's welcome Andrea to the show now. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Well, before we begin, I should share with the audience that we met through a mutual friend who does healing work, who had high praise for your from a reading that she had done for you. So I had a reading done through you, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And I'm working on your e-book now. I'm doing my homework, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
Which you assigned me. I'm doing that every night for 21 days.
I like to put my clients to work.
Yes. Well, you know what? I think that works. Sometimes it helps to be directed and have a, you know, have a set ritual that you do. And so every night I light my candle and I do the, you know, what I'm supposed to do.
Wonderful.
So tell us, when did you first begin noticing that you had skills that were outside the normal?
You know, I was brought into this work actually very reluctantly.
Oh, okay.
And I was a life coach and I kept being drawn into these areas of spiritual development coaching, even though I really that was not my intended focus.
Yeah.
And I had received a reading from the woman who ended up teaching me how to do this work, and she was starting to train people, and I said, okay, what the heck? And I thought that it would be something that would really add into my coaching practice, that would just give me another set of skills, another set of tools. And I really went into it with no real sense of, yes, I'm going to be really, really good at this, or I'm an intuitive, or I have psychic abilities. None of that. You know, so I just jumped in, and as it turns out, you know, it just really resonated and really clicked with me, and now it's all I do.
Wow.
So it kind of took me. It took me a while to own it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely something that found me rather than me going after it.
Wow. Well, it almost sounds like that might be part of your life plan.
I think so. I think so. It's kind of interesting. I think a lot of energetically very sensitive people do spend a lot of their lives fairly shut down. You know, when I started massage therapy school, I really wanted nothing to do with the whole energy work stuff.
Yeah.
I really thought a lot of the people that I went to school with were, you know, off their rocker, and what are they talking about, spirit guides and whatnot. And really, I was into the clinical massage therapy and far more into deep tissue and anatomy and really sorting out the different muscle layers and all of this, you know, very clinical stuff, very technical stuff. And what happened to me actually that made me work with things like Reiki and polarity a little bit was that as I started doing massage therapy, I had tremendous problems with transference where I would walk away from a massage and literally carry my client's pain in my body.
Wow.
So that was a rude awakening.
Oh, yeah, I would think.
Given that I didn't believe in any of it. So that was kind of how I was dragged kicking and screaming into the whole energy work field. And then, of course, you know, I opened up to that, and it opened me up the more I studied, and I realized, oh, there's a lot more to this, and I went to yoga practice, and, you know, I've really been on this path of working to empower others rather than me doing it for them. That's why I make my clients do homework, because you're doing it for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And so much of my work is not just readings. It's not about information. It's really about clearing, about realigning, and releasing negativity that attaches to people at soul level, and doing away with that, because what's attached to us at soul level can really create huge limitations here in the physical, you know, because one is a reflection of the other. So, you know, to me, if I had a goal, it would be that everyone knows how to do this work for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and just unlocking intuition is just a start to that.
Now, you believe that most everybody, if not everybody, can develop these skills, that they're inherent in anybody's abilities. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm training people now. I'm launching my correspondence course.
Oh, wonderful.
At the end of this month. Thank you. And I have trained people before, but I did it as a teleclass and did all the lectures in person.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm actually making it even more accessible for people. I'm putting together a lot of written materials, and then it's going to be a correspondence course with a lot of audio.
Uh-huh.
And then coaching sessions that are one-on-one. So people have the flexibility of being able to go through it at their own pace.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, we have one-on-one time where we can really get into their issues. But yes, absolutely, the system of the way to get into the Akashic Records,
uh-huh,
that's the first bit where there's an attunement process that is really effective,
uh-huh,
and allows people to go into the records where they receive their own guides to help them in the records. And then the course is about establishing a really practical, very defined frame of reference. Because the Akashic Records is such a huge source of information. You have to start somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And that level one course that I'm now teaching, and I already have a level two course available for students that have already done training with me, it's just a place to start.
Uh-huh.
But we need to find that place to start to pull out information of the record that is pertinent to the client's current life situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's in there, and we don't want to read everything.
Now tell us, for those of us who don't know a lot about this kind of stuff, what are the Akashic Records, and where are they stored, and what do they contain?
The Akashic Records, I like to think of them as the giant database in the ether. Everything that we do, every thought, every action, every choice, everything creates an energetic disturbance in the fabric of time and space.
Okay.
Everything we do has a resonance, a vibration.
Sure.
And the Akashic Records are the giant storage house where all of those vibration changes get recorded. And they literally contain the information of everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's vast. It doesn't end. And so you have to start somewhere. I mean, it's like the way I use an analogy of being given the keys to a humongous library, but no card catalog.
Wow.
So here's all this information available to you.
Wow.
And then where do you start? So what I teach is a frame of reference. It's basically a beginning card catalog. To just get started, find the information that you can pull out, because there's so much of it. I mean, for a soul record, when we enter just that one soul's Akashic record, because we all have our own little file in that giant database, there's just everything.
Huh.
Everything the soul's been through, every lifetime, everything they've done in between lifetimes, it's a huge record. There are souls that are millions of years old. So we have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone can learn how to do this. Absolutely.
Now, do you have to have some kind of resonance or vibration that's high enough in order to access others? Or do you have to have permission from the person to be able to read their records? Or can anybody just go in and, like a library, and pull one off the shelf?
I'm glad you asked that. It's a library, but it's not exactly a public library. It's a very well-guarded place. We are all connected to that place.
Okay.
So we all have access to our own soul record. There is absolutely no mystery to that. We all should be able to read our own record.
Right.
And essentially, when we work with our intuition, and the work that I do in my ebook, Unlock Your Intuition, that's all about accessing information for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone can learn how to do that. Now, when we become professional practitioners, we do this on behalf of others, and we go into other people's records.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredibly sacred thing.
Yes.
It's a very intimate thing.
Yes.
And there are real regulations in place. I mean, as a student, I received an attunement that was truly an energetic opening. It was like being handed the keys.
Wow.
Now, as I got ready to prepare people for the same thing to receive an attunement from me. It was really interesting because every time I would access the records in order to do some client readings, it was like my guides took me aside and went, no, over here, we have to do this because you're going to do an attunement in a month. So,
wow.
You know, so I really had to receive energetic frequencies. And it was a very real energetic event, so I could pass that along. And
wow.
It is a very real energy. So then, once that attunement process is complete, you can go in. You do have guides. And they're not only there to help, but they're also there to keep you in line a bit. Because we don't do this work out of curiosity.
Right, right.
We do it to really assist others right. in embracing their highest path and purpose.
Right, it's a service to others.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really do truly believe that the people that are drawn to this work
yeah.
are meant
yes,
to
exactly.
do it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I have complete faith that the people who show up to take my course
are the
right people.
Yeah.
And just to make sure, I have a little bit of an application process just to make sure that not only are they the right people,
mm-hmm.
Because God forbid, you know, I...
Right.
Yeah. And it's a lot of responsibility, and I take that very seriously. But I also do... The main reason for an application process is just to make sure that people don't have their own soul-level blocks and restrictions that might get in their way.
Yeah.
So sometimes people just need a little bit of clearing work, get that negativity off the table,
mm-hmm.
and then they're free to proceed. But most people are fine. You know, so it's really so accessible.
Uh-huh.
And it is tremendous what perspective opens up through this work, because it's really about seeing each other as spiritual beings and from a soul perspective.
Uh-huh.
And viewing ourselves and others really as just these divinely created beings that are just here in the physical. And what's here in the physical is just a little piece. And at the same time, that piece is so powerful because the choices that we make
yeah.
here reverberate all the way back to soul level.
Wow.
So one affects the other. And when you start drawing those connections, and as a practitioner, that's what you look at for clients.
Uh-huh.
And so you see it all day long. It is just phenomenal how your perspective of how you make your choices changes, because you realize the consequences that can sometimes affect
everything
for lifetimes.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, some of the stuff that I clear goes back 30, 40 lifetimes.
Wow.
And it's been affecting a person throughout.
Wow.
And certainly
wow.
you experienced that. I mean, we went back for you a
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
And there were some real things in your life that were reflecting what was happening for you at soul level.
Oh, yeah.
And that's normally my experience with clients. They know exactly what I'm talking about, even though the root cause was usually a large number of lifetimes ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, no, everything that came out in our reading was right on the money. It was just, you know, it was just stuff that I had kind of been thinking about. I knew that, you know, certain things were a certain way and it wasn't quite right, but it's when you stated it the way you did, it all made sense. It was
mm-hmm.
like the puzzle pieces fell into place.
Absolutely.
You
know, these energetic blocks and restrictions that carry through at soul level, our soul can go along its path and through many lifetimes and work on itself and develop and grow. And at some point, whatever is still left over, whatever negativity is attached, is going to start feeling like an invisible wall that we keep banging our head against.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what it is. Why are we like that?
Right,
why is this
right.
always in my way? Why can't I manifest that? Why do I have this habit that's constantly getting in my way? Or what is this pattern? I know I'm not trying to manifest it, but it keeps happening.
Yeah.
So when we start manifesting these unintended results, and I have to say my clients are all spiritual seekers. I mean, they really work very actively on their spiritual development. So I have clients that have a very high level of awareness around
yeah,
themselves,
yeah.
and they're really very invested
yeah.
in their spiritual development. So they really are stuck and going, why am I still like this? Or why am I still attracting these experiences?
Uh-huh.
And usually it's because of a soul level block or restriction that goes back so many lifetimes. And it's so hard to pinpoint that without
mm-hmm.
having someone else come in and objectively just name it.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you name it and know what it is, not only does it so validate our experience because we realize, oh, there is nothing wrong with me.
Right, right.
It's just a stupid choice I made three lifetimes ago, right?
Right, exactly.
But then we can also clear it, and we can make a new choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can make a choice to say, no more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let this negativity affect me. We just ask our guides and helpers to clear it from our record, and it gets done. And that is such a powerful thing. We are so powerful to create our experience. And the soul level piece of it is just, to me, the final layer that we work in to just really make those choices.
Now, you mentioned at the soul level, and I, you know, which is a complete turnaround from doing physical massage work and on the physical plane.
It is, isn't
so,
it?
So, I mean, it must have been quite a shift for you to, you know, I mean, a lot of people don't even think we have a soul, or they don't, they think, well, yeah, I've got one, but, you know, they, no, they're
what,
not sure.
What do I do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
My soul is, many people think their soul is kind of superfluous. They think they have one, but they don't know what it does.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when we do these readings, I look at the soul level markers, and one of the things that we do as practitioners is really get people in touch with their soul level identity. Our soul shapes so much of our personality. What we think of as our personality, our upbringing, just the quirks we have, some of those really come from our soul group of origination or the different things we've trained in, the different gifts and talents we have. They really express themselves in our physical lifetime. So the soul hugely shapes our physical experience and vice versa.
Uh-huh.
You know, what we do here in the physical also shapes our soul's ability to grow and evolve.
Now, you mentioned the soul group of origination. Now, that's something I'm very interested in because for a long time I thought I resonated quite a bit to Pleiadian material and Arcturian material. We've heard of those. We've also heard probably of Orion and some others. But I found out that my soul group is Polarian, which is something that's quite different indeed. So what are some of the most common soul groups that where people are originating, and what, how does that work?
Well, the soul chooses its very first incarnation very carefully, and it chooses where to go. It has to go somewhere,
right
for that
right.
very first incarnation. And the star system it goes to, and we go by star system when we talk about soul origination. Every once in a while we know the name of a planet, but generally it's star system. Every place has a certain energetic resonance and frequency. And when the soul goes to that place, there is a certain energetic frequency there, and it's drawn to that place for that frequency. So the soul chooses where to go.
Okay.
And that quality becomes part of our soul's blueprint, our energetic matrix. And we carry those characteristics forward with us into every subsequent lifetime. It's the energies that our soul is here to bring forward. So what happened was, you know, we all went to different places, and I generally don't have, actually, I don't think I've ever had a soul that originated on Earth.
Really?
Not to say it won't happen.
Wow.
It will, but I tend to attract star traveler souls, so most of the, 99.9% of the souls that I read for come from other places.
Okay.
And star travelers have all come here because this is such a powerful place. Right now, you know, things are really moving.
Why is that?
Well, I think we all know that we're hanging in the balance a bit, right?
Yeah.
It can go towards light, it can go towards dark, and we are here to assist in the spiritual evolution of this planet.
Tilting the scales in those in the direction of light.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Because the Earth of Soul blueprint is oriented more towards the physical, and the physical here is so wonderful. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just there's so many physical pleasures here. The world is so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can feast our eyes on nature. And just thinking about food, I love food, things like that. So the Earth of Soul blueprint, there were a couple of problems with that. You know, there were... The tendency was to get bogged down in all that physicality. And so star travelers started to come in and bring in these energetic qualities all to assist here and also to correct some things in the blueprint. So this gets very, very complicated. I mean, we have you know, Galactic Unification Councils, and they're working at the galactic level because, of course, we're all connected.
Uh-huh.
And so the evolution on one planet really affects the evolution on other planets, too.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in isolation.
I've heard that the Earth is kind of at a bottleneck, and that we're in a certain way, we're kind of holding up the evolution of the entire universe.
Yeah. That's why we're all here.
Okay. That
makes
a heck of a lot of sense.
And the star travelers, right now there's a big shift actually happening.
Uh-huh.
It used to be that the emphasis was on, let's bring everyone with us. Let's raise everyone's resonance.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So there was an effort to really bring everyone along.
Okay.
Which is one way to reach this critical mass,
uh-huh,
where there is enough of a vibration where we can shift forward into the fourth dimension, which is where we're going, right? Right now the planet's main resonance is in the third dimension, now we're going into the fourth.
Okay.
And we all don't know what that's going to look like, but that's what we're trying to evolve to.
Right.
So that used to be the energy. Let's all come along. And there was a lot of focus on just making sure no one got left out,
mm-hmm,
you know, and just really bringing all the souls along. Well, that didn't work so well.
Mm.
And now what the star travelers specifically are doing is, you know, you can create critical mass one of two ways. Everyone can advance a couple of notches,
mm-hmm,
or you can have just a few souls do a tremendous amount of work,
uh-huh,
and advance really far. And again, it'll shift the energy overall enough so that critical mass is reached.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's why the star traveler souls right now are in this tremendous pattern of acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone feels it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that comes into my practice feels it like, ooh, we got to hurry. Right? You felt that, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And star travelers are just feeling that need to just move.
Yes.
Move forward. Now is, yeah, the time. And it really is a terrific time to do this work.
Well,
and so, you know, my piece of it is just clearing away leftover negativity so that we can all move forward.
You know, and that's something that I realized that I couldn't have done for myself, because we uncovered something that was an area that, you know, there was no way that I could have perceived what that was and cleared it myself. So it's like going to a specialist or a doctor or a counselor for a specific thing. You know, when you're not trained in that area, you can't see it. So, you know, it really is quite a benefit to have somebody else be able to see, you know, contracts or negative implants or, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of stuff, and it's not really well known, like you said.
Mm.
It's kind of a specialized area,
mm-hmm,
and it just hasn't really come out. Now, I personally think, you know, this should be a huge modality, and I'm,
mm-hmm,
working on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that the practice of this becomes commonplace, because really everyone can have this information. But yes, you're right. It's wonderful to have someone just objective look at the record. I mean, I don't know my clients at all, and that's actually how I prefer it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just get the name and the birth date and where they were born, and that's about it.
Uh-huh.
And if they want to cover something specific, you know, they can tell me that, but I don't really know who they are.
Uh-huh.
And I have clients all over the world, you know,
wow,
so there's no limitation to distance, because we can all access the Akashic Records right from where we are.
Now, even though you don't know who they are, you know who they are on a soul level, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's, you know, I use the birth information to basically access the record, and then,
yeah,
yes, I download all of that information.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's truly, to me, this work is just magical.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I have the privilege of accessing someone else's record, and that person is in Australia or in France or in Spain, and then we get together on the phone and I tell them my findings and it resonates. To me, that is just the ultimate proof that truly we are all connected, and we're all these unique threads in one big tapestry, because reasonably, and if you had told me 5 years ago even that I would be doing this work, I would have said, no way, that's not even possible.
Right, right.
And so really, I just want to uphold for people who, you know, are fascinated by this kind of idea of being an intuitive, but can I do it, and could I really? Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an interest in it, yes, get some good training, get with some teachers, and absolutely take ownership, because it opens up a perspective that is just tremendous, and it just enlarges our lives,
mm-hmm.
you know, not
mm-hmm.
to see us just as physical, mental, emotional, but also this soul piece, that we know who our soul is. And so to me, it's been tremendously life-changing just on a personal level to be able to do this work.
Well, some of the things that come out during a reading, too, are quite valuable in that there are certain gifts that we come in with, and
mm-hmm.
you just get to discover that. And you find out more about your guides.
Mm-hmm.
And do you connect to the point where you, does everybody have an angel or angels that work with them?
Everyone has an inner circle of spirit guides.
Okay.
Now, different practitioners have different models they work with.
Okay.
And I don't want to invalidate any of those because
okay.
we all work in slightly different frames of reference. All right? The one I use is an inner circle and an outer circle. So the inner circle of guides is between 4 and 6.
Okay.
And we come in at birth with 1 or sometimes 2. And that's usually the guide that people identify most with. That's our birth-to-death guide.
Okay.
But we accumulate more. And normally our inner circle team is complete by the time we're anywhere from 18 through about 22 is usually the oldest.
Okay.
So that's the guide team that's with us all the time. They are responsible for us only.
Okay.
We're their only client.
Oh, good, good.
Yes. They're 100% there for us. And it's wonderful, and they're usually wonderful beings. Now, every once in a while, I do see clients who come in with negative guides that
okay.
they've hired by mistake.
Oh.
And that can be a very damaging situation. That's one of those things that you wouldn't know it's going on until someone else looks at it.
Yeah.
And then we fire those guides, and we bring in new ones, and it's all good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's all stuff that we can change. But the inner circle is really who's responsible for us day to day.
Okay.
And I do a reading, which I just love doing this, just looking at the inner circle, who they are,
uh-huh.
what their talents are,
uh-huh.
what their vibration is, where their souls are from, and then what they have to say. Also, one of the little pieces that I love to read is how they impulse my clients.
Okay.
So, because a guide will impulse us a certain way, and so we'll pick up like a little habit, and that could be a tingling on our arm. I once had one client where it came in, and this is one of those things where I just have to put it out there and cross my fingers because it sounds odd to me, but I asked, you know, this the spirit guide said that you do a little toe twitching or a little dance, and she started laughing hysterically because apparently she just has to take her shoes off all the time and her toes are constantly moving. So they impulse us in certain ways, and we can figure out what they do in order to get our attention. And then we know when they're kind of elbowing us, going, pay attention, watch out, or, you know, this is the energy I work with, I've got something to say. So really knowing who our guides are is a wonderful way to just really harness that wonderful resource, because truly, you know, our higher self is like our parent part on the spiritual plane. If you view it that way, then our spirit guides are like our very benevolent aunts and uncles that all want to look after us.
Mm-hmm.
And give us their perspective. They don't, you know, they don't make our choices for us, and they don't tell us what to do. They give us guidance and their perspective,
mm-hmm.
and we can ask them to act on our behalf. But, and the same thing goes for our higher self, they can only act on our behalf if we ask.
Mm.
This is why I encourage people to pray for themselves.
Yeah.
It's okay to do this for ourselves. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
When we use prayer, it's really just a way of activating those resources on the spiritual plane.
And does it have to do with our free choice?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It has to do with our, first of all, our vital force energy. We incarnate here for a reason.
Mm.
We can create a lot of change. You know, this is a tremendously powerful place, and at the same time, it's a place of great responsibility, and this is why we can fall down so hard
mm-hmm.
to the point where negativity attaches for 30 or 40 lifetimes.
Mm.
Because our choices truly carry so much vibrational energy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a place of power here in the third dimension.
Huh.
Okay, so we come here for a reason, because we want to be able to act as creators.
Oh.
It's an opportunity. You know, because life here in the physical is not easy.
No.
It's not easy for a soul to get in a body. there can be problems with leaving the body.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, if you watch a newborn, you can watch them really struggle to integrate their spiritual true self into this piece
little
of clothing, left the body, you know, their garment for this lifetime.
Yeah.
And it takes work.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be here. And some
yeah.
souls really choose these lessons and experiences that you just look at and go, why would a soul choose that? It's because they forget how hard it is.
Yeah.
But it's also a place of such tremendous power because we get to be such creators here.
Huh.
Yeah, so what we do is we have the vital force energy. We can make changes. We can make things happen here. So what we do through prayer is we take our vital force energy and we pass it along to the spiritual planes.
Okay.
So that they can create change on our behalf. But it has to be our choice.
Okay.
So that's kind of how free will, free choice works here, you know, and interacts with prayer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a big prayer fan.
Now, when you access the records and you get the information from, I guess, from beyond the veil, how does that appear to you? I mean, is it visual and auditory, or is it just an inner knowing, or does it? I mean, what are some of the ways that you get it?
Sure, that's a great question. You know, and it's going to be different for every single person.
Okay.
And everyone has to figure that out. But I am a huge fan of dowsing.
Okay.
And that's where I start students, and that's where my Unlock Your Intuition ebook starts, too.
Yes, it does.
Because it is so easy to do. Now, it's deceptively easy, and, you know, you have to know how to do it right. If anyone is listening to this, just do not run out and just buy a pendulum and start dowsing like crazy. You know, there's a method to it.
Yeah.
But when done properly, it is amazingly accurate,
mm-hmm.
and it's so easy. And it's not very confusing because all you can have is yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts tapping people in to what the answers then resonate like inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, I get words pop into my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very verbal person,
mm-hmm.
and I get a lot of words that just fly into my head, and I write them down. I love to channel that way. You know, the words just pop in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get a lot of kinesthetic senses, too. Something will feel, you know, just I'll go into a record and I'll immediately feel a lot of heart energy that's all bottled up, or I'll feel something. So I get a basic overall energetic impression of what's going on.
Hmm.
Auditory, not so much. It's more like the words pop into my head. I don't really hear them. I just think the words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and visuals, I get visuals sometimes if I want to. I don't really harness that too much because, quite frankly, there's a lot of stuff I don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, when I see clients and they have negative entity attachments or negative guides, I don't really want to see those.
Right,
things.
Right, right. I don't blame you.
So there's ways we can direct that information to come in. You know, we have certain predispositions. And that's what I do in my ebook. That's the process I take people through to start with a very external medium, such as dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we carry forward from that into, well, what does it feel like internally? And how does intuitive information come in for you specifically?
Because
mm-hmm. it can be visual, auditory, kinesthetic, or verbal. And usually it's a mixture. So that we start knowing what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no right or wrong way.
Okay.
And within the way it naturally comes in, then we can start building a specific channel of communication. Because I really have worked with my guides and told them, you know, I really like the verbal stuff. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm the one who has to sit down then with my clients and either send them an email report
mm-hmm.
or tell them about it on the phone. And so I really like to have the verbatim exact words. If I'm channeling a guide, you know, I'm just telling my client exactly the way I got it.
Yeah, yeah, that's sort of what it seems like to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So words are really powerful, and I love having the information come in so specifically in a frame of reference we can all relate to.
Without relaying anybody's name, have you had any surprises while doing a reading or anything unusual that's kind of shocked you or surprised you?
All the time.
Can you share some of those things?
You mean when reading, like, for family members or things like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I have gotten some surprises. I have encountered relatives that were not positive souls.
Oh, yes,
you'd
I
never
wanted
know
to
it.
Ask you about that.
Yes. So I've encountered that. Close relatives. So, and really, in retrospect, it wasn't surprising, but truly, you never know.
Uh-huh.
A book cannot be judged by its cover, truly.
Uh-huh.
And there are plenty of people running around with deceptive mechanisms that are not what they appear to be. They can appear as bright and shining light workers, and
right.
what they're really doing is reflecting the light of others back to them, and at the same time taking that light energy.
Oh, yes.
There are some soul groups that are incarnated on the planet that are not positive. And we don't judge that. They're not bad people. They're
right.
just not working a pattern of soul evolution, and they're not working actively with light.
Right.
You know, and most souls on this planet right now, they fall kind of in between.
Okay.
You know, they work a little bit with light, a little bit with dark, depending on what's convenient. And so they haven't really defined themselves as light workers.
Okay, okay.
Those are not typically my clients.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so and people who work with dark energy, you know, they're not my clients either. They would never, ever come in. But what happens is I will read for someone, and then they'll ask me to read for their husband or, you know, their child or their relative.
Oh.
And that's where I encounter negative soul.
Wow, that must be a difficult thing to communicate to people, that they, you know, have a dark or negative entity.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But it's really a relief because they
yeah.
already know.
Of course, of course.
You know, I have never really surprised a person. I mean, they
yeah.
may not have really wanted to know,
yeah.
but actually once they know who's around them, first of all, they can stop sending energy to that person, and they can stop whatever, you know, whatever that person is doing to create negativity. I mean, it goes outward, you
yeah.
know, and so we can sort of minimize the damages.
Yes, yes, that makes sense.
And stop with all this energy of trying to turn them around, you know, that
yeah.
kind of thing. Because truly,
it's not gonna
sometimes
happen.
Souls just make a choice to work with negativity. And
yeah.
we have to honor that choice
yeah.
just like we would any other. We are in a free will, free choice zone here.
Yeah.
And people can choose to work with light or not, and we honor that.
Yep.
And they're not bad people. They just made a choice
yeah.
to
yeah.
work with a different quality of energy. And I think we all know people who are fueled by anger or fueled by guilt or, you know, need to be tremendously controlling of everything.
Yes.
Sometimes that's not a negative soul, but sometimes it is.
Or,
it's okay.
You know,
we don't judge it. We just don't want it in our lives necessarily influencing us in too intimate a way.
Exactly.
And if it is there, we want to know about it.
And there is such a thing as a psychic vampire, because I've met a few.
There are absolutely people. I wouldn't call them that, but there are many who will cord positive souls
right.
and draw energy from them. So I
right.
think that would probably be considered a psychic vampire, I suppose.
Right.
I don't use that terminology, but
right.
yeah. Definitely there's lots of souls who will draw energy from others.
Mm-hmm.
Because a negative soul has chosen to no longer work with divine source. Because
okay.
source is light.
So
a soul that has chosen to work against light needs a different power source. They need to draw on the negativity around them and create it around them.
Okay.
Because that's what gives them energy. That's what they live on. We live on joy and love and bliss and happiness, and those are all energetic qualities that we can receive from divine source.
Right, right. Is there such a thing as a power source for negativity?
No.
So it just basically is feeding off itself.
Yes, well, this is why negative influences strive to create so much negativity in our lives.
Right.
Because the negative energy that, you know, negativity, that's the thing, it's not powerful at all.
Right.
Negativity doesn't even really exist. The
You're
only
right.
thing that exists is the absence of light.
Right, right.
So, say someone has a negative entity attachment. Well, okay, that negative entity just needs fuel. Okay, we can't really blame it. It's chosen to work
right.
with a different quality, with dark energy. Well,
right.
where is it going to go? It has to attach to a light worker or just a soul.
Right.
Right? And create negativity by running programs, by affecting the way they think, by affecting the way they feel. And suddenly, you know, a client will have, oh, gosh, a program of distraction running. Okay, so they can't focus. They can't manifest anything because they can't focus.
Yeah.
They can't receive information from their higher self because they're constantly distracted by everyone and everything around them.
Yep, yep.
And there's nothing wrong with them. They don't have ADD. You know, it's a negative entity that's creating this. And just loving all the confusion and all that negative energy that's coming off the positive soul that they've attached to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, no, negativity, that's why we're so much more powerful, and that's why we can clear all of it.
Hmm.
Because we just, you know, the way I look at it is if you flip a switch in a dark room, light goes everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Darkness has to go away. So when we do a reading like this, we really are flipping on the light of awareness.
Yes.
And darkness has to go. It has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why light is so much more powerful. But negativity will have us thinking that it is powerful. We buy into that. It's an illusion.
Yes, yes. That's very true. Very
but
true.
It works really hard. Through
I wonder
fear.
Why, I wonder yeah, why our why the guides or angels or higher self can't eliminate such an entity.
Because we make the choice.
Of course, right. That's right.
Yeah. You know, and the way usually attachments like that happen is, going back to my example I just used, let's say someone has an entity attachment running a mental body program of distraction. So their thoughts are constantly getting distracted, okay? Well, that entity could have attached when they were 13 or 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they were in a period of their lives where they didn't want to focus on what was going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And an entity will very opportunistically come along and approach us and go, I can teach you how to avoid stuff.
Mm.
You don't have to think about it if you don't want to. I have this great program.
Oh, my.
I can install it in your mental body.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be distracted from what's going on. And, you know, poor 13 or 14-year-old will go, okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm sort of making a storyline out of it, but really, energetically, that's how it happens, but the choice is made.
And then they don't realize they've made that choice,
and
it affects them for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. We usually make those at the subconscious or unconscious level. I've also had, this is real interesting, I've had negative entities try to attach to me during my astral time.
Oh, really?
And this happened when I was training, in one of my training courses to do this work, and it was the most bizarre thing, and I remember it very vividly because it was just such a realization. I had this dream, and I was just doing something, and what happened was this young man in a tuxedo kept showing up wanting to ask me out to dinner.
Huh.
Go out to dinner with me. And it had nothing to do with the rest of my dream, so it was like completely out of place.
Huh.
And I kept going, oh, no, leave me alone. I'm having this dream. Go away, you know.
Huh.
And then I finally said, you know, fine, later, though. And as soon as I said that, I went, oh. And because something shifted, the energy shifted, I opened my eyes and my whole house was just really, the energy was just not good. And I sort of was still half asleep. I went back and was like, oh, my God, show me what I just said yes to. And it was not a good thing.
Really?
And so I pulled out my books and started clearing everything, you know, and it was fine. And I think our computer broke down and something else happens, you know, because by this time, as a practitioner, I'm personally very well protected, so negativity tries to get in by, you know, my phone lines. And yes, I live a truly bizarre life. Sometimes I listen to myself and go, oh, my God, you know, 5 years ago, who would have thunk, but okay.
Well, it's interesting. And you said, and of course, more and more doors open up, and you probably hear a lot of unusual things from your clients and get information from the Akashic Records, which must be just expanding your own database exponentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I learn something from every reading. This work is so endlessly fascinating. I don't see how it could ever get boring.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just starting. We are just starting as a modality. This is still evolving, and I learn new things about the different soul groups and their histories all the time as the information is necessary and as we're ready to understand it. That's how it comes in. So really, with every record I open, I learn something.
Right, right.
And sometimes I receive information just about a topic that I didn't know I needed, and then three clients will show up in my practice that all need to know this.
Wow.
So it's very divinely guided. It is so fantastic.
Wow.
Like I said, to me, it's just magical.
Do you find that most people come from a particular soul group, or are things starting to fall into patterns, or is there any pattern to it at all?
I would have to say, well, star travelers show up in my practice.
Uh-huh.
That would be the biggest defining characteristic. There's some soul groups that are really under the radar that just don't show up much for anyone that I know of, any practitioner I know of. Like, there were souls on, you know, there was a civilization on Mars.
Right.
And there was a planet in our solar system called Maldek.
Yeah.
And I only know one Maldekian who's ever been into a practitioner. Martians, there were some souls on Venus for a while. There was a colony there. They don't show up much.
Right.
They don't show up much. But there's the rest of the soul groups, the Star Traveler soul groups, do tend to come in fairly regularly. There's some that I see more than others. But, you know, I am never surprised. Really, there's nothing, you know, we start our training as a practitioner with a very structured frame of reference.
Uh-huh.
And it's very methodical. You can go through the whole protocol just by dousing on yeses and noes.
Wow.
And then I teach people how to put it together as a story.
Huh.
You know, how to put the pieces together. So it is so easy in many ways. And from there, it just takes off and expands. And that's different for every practitioner. You know, we get drawn into different directions. I really love this element of free will, free choice, and how do we end up with negativity attached to us? You know, what are those choices that we're making? When does it happen? And I like to make all the information very pertinent to real life.
Right, right.
Because if it's not practical, who cares?
Exactly, exactly.
You know, so it has to be actionable and practical, and that's also, again, why I make my clients, or why I request that my clients do homework. But practitioners sometimes get drawn to doing more with past lives that were on this planet. Some really do a lot of research into those soul groups. I've done some research around future pathways and possibilities and probabilities and destiny versus fate and really all of that stuff. So I've done some research around that. It just really expands. But we have to start somewhere.
Exactly. What's the highest dimensional being or entity that you have come in contact with?
Eighth dimensional.
Okay, now tell
us really why. Above that, we can't, and people are going to hate me for saying this, we can't channel archangels. Okay. The ninth through 12th dimensions are angelic beings.
Okay.
And truly, our brains would explode. Especially, archangels are 12th dimensional beings that are given a mandate from God to hold a certain energetic frequency.
Okay.
So when people channel Archangel Michael, who's very popular,
right.
What they're usually doing is they're channeling a representative from that realm. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't diminish the quality of the information, and the reason it comes in as the Archangel Michael is because that's a frame of reference that people understand.
Okay.
But we're third-dimensional beings incarnated into, you know, the physical dimension. Our souls right now, souls on Earth, resonate in the fourth and fifth dimension.
Right.
And most of my clients will be fifth-dimensional souls.
Okay.
Most of our spirit guides are in the upper fifth, lower sixth dimension.
Okay.
Anything beyond that is really not that practical to guide us because they're so far removed from the practicalities.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I very actively work on my spiritual development and really, you know, you go through certain energetic awakenings that will just be completely disruptive because the dimension, you know, the upper dimensional beings don't understand that, you know, I have a 2-year-old to raise and clients to work for and deadlines and real life stuff and I need to sleep and eat.
Yeah.
They don't care. So it can be a little bit overwhelming at certain levels and we want to set parameters around that. But generally people have an easy time channeling the sixth and seventh dimensions.
Right.
The eighth, it gets really
dicey.
Oh, yeah. It'll give you a tremendous headache for a while. And some people are really attuned to the upper dimensions because they've done a lot of work either in this lifetime or in the past.
Right.
And
right.
others aren't. But,
right.
you know, I tell people to always ask when they channel.
Okay.
Who are you channeling? What, first of all, the first question should always be, are you in alignment with divine love, light, and truth? Any being that wants to come through to be channeled, that is the first question.
Okay.
Are they, that's to establish that they're a positive soul.
Right.
Because there's a lot of negative souls that will go around masquerading. And I've done clearing work for people who have just been absolutely just railroaded by negative entities that have given them just enough accurate information to seem legitimate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the rest of it was just hogwash. And
yeah.
So they've been led astray, and now they're in doubt, and, you know, just... So it can be tremendously damaging to channel a negative entity. So that's the first question.
Okay.
Is your soul being in alignment with divine love, light, and truth?
Okay.
If there's not an immediate affirmative, yes, absolutely, I am, just disconnect, tell them to go away. And they'll try. They'll go, well, why do you want to know? Or... You're not ready for that information yet. You know, if you get any kind of evasion, send it away.
Yeah.
Because a positive being will absolutely be thrilled that you're asking.
Yeah.
And then the next question I would ask is, you know, what dimension?
Okay.
And usually it will be sixth, sometimes seventh. Eighth is really rare. I mean, I've done that just maybe once or twice. And like I said, it gives you a headache. And, you know, if an entity identifies itself as like an archangel, you can then ask, well, are you... from that realm, and that can be totally legitimate. And so if that's in your frame of reference to ask, then that information can come through. If we don't even realize that that's a possibility, then they'll just identify themselves as the archangel.
Huh.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So for all the people who might be mad at me now for saying, you can't channel an archangel, and they've been channeling the Archangel Gabriel for years, you know, just know that there might be a little bit more to it than that.
Yeah, yeah, that's very interesting information, you know, and it's very practical to know because it's, you know, we need to be able to practice discernment when we're reading a lot of this channel material.
Absolutely.
You know? And I know for me it's just taken time just to read and read and read, and now it's kind of like I can smell it.
Uh-huh, you do get a sense of it, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what negative influences will so often do is they'll give you 85% accurate stuff, and 15% that is absolutely, completely misleading.
Yes.
And destructive.
Yes, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything that you'd like to share towards the, we're getting towards the end of the show. I'd like for you to mention your website and how people can reach you first.
I would love to. They can reach me either at www.andreahess.com or empoweredsoul.com.
Okay.
So whichever is easier to remember.
Okay.
And also, the other thing I wanted to mention is tomorrow morning I'm actually offering a free teleclass that's a preview call to this level one practitioner training.
Oh.
So, and, you know, if you can't make it, I know it's short notice, but people can sign up on my website for the recording of the call if they can't make it live. And also on my website, I just have so much information. I have a blog on there where there's constantly new articles that I'm writing. There's also a lot of freebies on there. I just created a Discover Your Soul Purpose process. That's a little audio process that's free that people can download. So there's just a whole bunch of resources, and there's information about receiving a reading and becoming a practitioner and also intuitive development, and my ebook is at unlockyourintuition.com.
Okay.
And that's going to actually be published at the end of August, beginning September.
And it's a wonderful ebook, by the way.
Thank you.
It really is. It's very well written. It's very clear. It's not, you know, it's you know, it's an excellent book.
Thank you. So, I tried to make it very practical.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
There's a lot of step-by-step practical stuff in there.
I love practical. I mean, I love the airy-fairy, too, but, you know, you've got to be able to apply things to your own life in some way.
Absolutely. You know, we're here, and we're here for a good reason.
Yes.
This is where we're creating our life, and what we're doing here resonates not just through our being, but through the entire solar system, through the galaxy, through the universe.
Wow.
And so our choices are so important, and the more we can tune in to those resources on the spiritual plane that can just give us some guidance and really assist us in making choices that are most in alignment with our highest path and purpose.
Right.
The better.
What's one of the most inspirational messages that comes from doing this kind of work?
How powerful we are.
Mm-hmm.
How incredibly powerful we are in creating our reality through our choices.
Mm.
Because when we align with our highest path and purpose, man, does life get good.
Mm.
It gets so easy. We clear the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
We get all, and that's why my work is called Soul Realignment. That's the name of this modality. We just line up
mm-hmm.
with who we are at soul level, and we express that into all areas of our lives. and we start attracting what we need to attract. Manifesting becomes easy, and we really start acting and stepping up to this creatorship where we own that we create our experience here.
Wow.
And that is why my company is called Empowered Soul, because truly we are so empowered to create our lifetime here.
Well, Andrea, it's been a wonderful show, and I want to thank you profusely for the work you do in the world and for being on the show tonight and sharing with our listeners what you shared.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so wonderful.
All right. God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Stretch of time for just a little while. Wanna keep the fire going with the night sun.